You know, when you and I used to do radio, I'm doing the show now. Oh. Yeah, I'm doing the show now. Why don't you slide that mic a little bit that way? I know it's been a long time since you've done anything like this.
We
don't have to wear a mask. You're fine. You're fine. Settle down over there. We're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance studio.
Sure, this is over.
I'm not. The funny thing is,
I'm not 100% sure.
Right? Like they technically can only run a minute and 20 off the clock because the Eagles do still have a timeout. So, like,
yeah, so call timeout.
I mean,
if they get the ball back, they're getting it back with like 35 seconds.
Correct. I can't. Maybe we shouldn't have started this. Maybe I still turned it on too early.
You do like to call games early.
Yeah, that's me. That's my bit. Everybody knows. That's what.
I called this one.
No, you haven't.
Not yet.
In fact, you were literally saying, "Well, the game's tied." You were doing that bit.
Until they screwed their own play up.
Hi, I'm Glenn Clark. He's Drew Forrester. This, we believe, is the Project Game Day postgame show.
Yeah, we think it's the postgame show.
Might just be Drew and Glenn watch the end of this game, which has been one of the more insane turns of events.
Nothing, and the game was like on its way to being 30-7.
No, it was 17-0, and it felt like it was 44-7.
Right.
I mean, it was 17-0, and
don't throw the ball here, right?
Absolutely.
Game's over.
There you go. Finally. All right. Ravens win. They don't cover, though. Not that matters to anybody. All right. Project Game Day postgame show is brought to you by the U.S. Army. The Ravens will improve to 5-1, but when you and I used to do radio together, when you and I, all those years ago, on that station that doesn't exist anymore,
okay.
When you and I used to do radio together, we would have a lot of mornings where we would come in after the Ravens won. And the tone of the day was as if the Ravens had lost. Sometimes you would lose your mind. You would say things like,
"You people are crazy.
They won the game." Like you would have
right,
those moments.
I would lose it.
You would do that a few times.
Right.
I don't think that's the feeling that I have today. I think today is going to feel to a lot of people like a loss. I think the reaction is going to be as if they had lost a football game. And in some weird way, I think that there's something warranted depending on why it is that you're acting that way. They're 5-1. That's great. They're 5-1. They go into their bye. Philly's horrible. I mean, by the way, they might be the favorites to win the NFC East.
But they did man up there at the end. I mean, other than goofing up that 2-point conversion, I don't know what they were doing there and throwing up all over themselves. But you know,
when we do radio, you have to talk into the microphone.
I know, but I'm still watching the end because I still don't know.
I understand
exactly
why you feel that way. The game's over.
All right, game's over.
Yeah,
let me just make sure.
It's not. It's over. We're doing a postgame show now.
Now it is the postgame show.
We're doing. You can't. You can't cover any longer. You got nothing to watch anymore.
Yeah. I mean, look. At the end of the day, I always say this, and I'm not saying this to try to like just piece off of doing this. The league is insane. And you never know. It is not a week-to-week league.
Okay, but I think we say that sometimes to try to say, like, this is inexplicable. I don't think this is inexplicable today. I don't feel that way today. I mean, some of the goofy things that happen, like tossing.
There's no penalties called against them.
Okay, I get it. That's a problem. And that speaks to the offensive line, which I think as a whole we have said for the entirety of the start of the season has struggled. It's been a problem.
Right. I said this last week. Like, one of, you know, you and I talked about this at some point, and I wrote this on my website. It's one of three things, or it's just a combination of three things. But one of them definitely is that they're missing Yonda.
Of course they're missing Yonda.
There's no
Yonda.
Question about that. Whether or not there was some injury to Lamar, or whether or not they just got into this weird rut where they wanted him to just air it out, and they kind of got caught up in that. But something didn't feel right. You know, they just didn't look. And I've even at this point, right? They're 5-1, and I think everyone would agree they're a blemished 5-1. Is that a fair way to put it?
It's 100%.
I think I'm going to write that tomorrow. That like they're a blemished 5-1. They're still 5-1, and for all we know, they're going to be 12-4, 13-3, and Kansas City's going to be 12-4, and they're going to get home ice. Like who knows, right? But they're a blemished 5-1. It doesn't feel, even in the end here, and I get it, the call on Peters was kind of chippy. I still think the dude intercepted the ball. But anyway, they did let a fairly hapless offensive team come within a botched 2-point conversion of the game being in overtime.
My concern
well,
is.
at least they would have had a minute 50 to try to...
Sure, go back and score themselves. Right. My concern is less about what happened to the defense at the end of the game, because there were some weird things that occurred to allow for that to happen at the end of the game, right? I have less concern. The defense, for a whole today, played really well.
For three quarters, they were
really good. Dominant. Carson Wentz was on his ass. I mean, he was getting just beat up and down the field. We were talking about whether or not Jalen Hurts was going to start on Thursday night. I mean, for three-plus quarters...
Yeah, I thought they were going to change names and make him Carson Hurts.
Okay.
No.
You know what? You've had worse. You've had worse.
I mean,
you've had worse.
And that was off the cuff.
In fact, you've had lots of worse.
But that was
efforts.
Off the cuff.
No, it's not. It's somewhere in the middle.
Right.
I'm telling you.
I think
it's somewhere
Kyle
in the
here,
middle.
He would laugh.
He does that for you sometimes. He's kind in that way. Yeah, right. I appreciate that about him. It's for you for some reason. I'm not concerned necessarily, but the reason why that was allowed to happen is because this offense just kind of seems to lose their way. And I get it. You can say, hey, the other team tries too, and that's fine. But you just inexplicably can't understand why it is that here's Lamar throwing another sidearm pass for some reason. Here's they just seem lost for stretches, and you don't know what's going on with them. You know it's still a good unit. You understand there's a difference between what's happening in Baltimore and, say, what's happening in Washington. This is still a good offense.
You know,
anyone?
They always win these games, too.
These games, 100%,
they
right?
They beat these lousy teams.
Right, hapless teams, somehow, some way.
So Lamar threw the ball 20. I said to you before, how many throws did he have? Lamar threw the ball 27 times, which is sort of kind of the perfect number, right?
That part is not – that alone, I don't think today is the day we're looking.
They ran for 182 yards against a team that, for the most part, again, I say this, you can't be a week-to-week league, but a defense, for the most part, has been really good against the run, and their interior arguably is probably a top seven or top
eight interior.
You're
talking about Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And, yeah,
they
have correct.
The Eagles' defense in general isn't awful, but their run defense is actually pretty good. So, you know, 182 yards on the ground. Now, granted, Jackson had 108.
By the way, I think that's a big plus. That if I wanted to come away with something that's a positive from today, it's remembering
for 108.
It's
yards.
Remembering that Lamar Jackson's allowed to do that.
Right.
And that to me has been one of the more confusing things about how the season started,
the
Drew.
They ran for 194.
Well, I mean, I get that's not. I mean, in fairness, Brandon Williams
right.
didn't play today,
right,
and
right,
Derek
right.
Wolfe didn't play today, and I was nervous about how many yards the Eagles might run for because of it. I was nervous that was going to be a story in the game. I've been confused about why it is that Lamar Jackson running the ball hasn't been a central portion of your offense. He's very good at that. He's exceptionally good at that. As we were reminded today when he broke off a long touchdown run in the second half when things started to kind of look hairy again for a second. I can't define it. I can't define what's going on with this offense. It's just kind of off. It's not the well-oiled machine that we've come to expect them to be. And whether that's about the fact that they haven't just said, look, we're going to do the thing we did a year ago, run the ball a billion times, tell you we're running the football, and then go do it anyway, and that's who we're going to be. And if the fact that they're not that team, what we're learning is otherwise they're just kind of pedestrian. They were only really a great offense because they were so dominant and forcing with the run. That might be the case. I'm not willing to dismiss
so
that.
So the only two guys really on the offensive line that are significantly different, not even offensive line, just offense in general. But the
right.
only two guys that are significantly different are Yanda and Hurst, right?
Well, the fact they didn't really replace Hurst.
But, okay, but well, like that may be part of this.
Like, yes.
Is there any chance as well that his absence is part of this?
I mean, we've talked about the lack of the 11 formation. The three tight end set worked well. They're not doing it.
Right.
They're trying a little bit with Pat Ricard. That's not him. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not a threat downfield and catching the football. That's what made the three tight end formation so successful is that you had three guys that were all downfield threats. They didn't replace him, and I think it's clear that that's playing a role. Let me get to some comments. It's not panic that I'm sensing. It's just meh right now. Paul, the Ravens O-line should be running sprints after the game. The number of penalties was atrocious. Like, if you want the biggest thing to explain why it is that it ended up being 30-28, I'd be willing to agree with that. It was the number of illegal formations today. Like, the holding thing... in part is you didn't have guys that were getting open downfield. Like the one, Lamar was about to get, you know, clobbered. And so McCary, you know, goes up high and gets called for the hole going to the face. That's fine. Like he realizes Lamar's about to get murdered because nobody's getting open downfield. That we can tell nobody's getting open downfield. That's part of the problem. But the illegal formation thing, I'm at an utter loss.
How many of those can you have?
I mean, it's insane.
You say, guys, we're just not paying attention.
Like, what's going on? That's right. Just the height. That's not nothing that the other team's doing to you. Right. It's just
that
pure.
That kind of shouldn't happen in the NFL.
100%.
Right? It's like in Major League Baseball, you should never not know how many outs there are. You know, if you tag up from second base and you didn't realize there was only one out, you know, or something. You know, if you lose track of how many outs there are in Major League Baseball,
yep.
You
got to pay the fine in the kangaroo court, right? Yeah, the whole deal.
Like,
I get it.
If you get an illegal formation in the NFL, something's wrong.
I mean, how the hell does that happen?
That happens in high school.
From Jeff, total lack of discipline by the Ravens on both sides of the ball in the second half.
Is that because of the penalties?
I mean, the penalties, yeah, absolutely. I'd call that a lack of discipline. A lack of discipline in secondary. It looked like Marcus Peters was hurt. It definitely looked like he was hurt, and that impacted, say, the fourth down play. And in fairness, Carson Wentz just tossed that. We saw Lamar Jackson do that against Kansas City last year, where he's just tossing the ball up and hoping for the best. It just so happens to be the Fulgham came down with it there, right?
Sometimes they work, right?
Sometimes that happens.
They didn't, and the boy intercepted it, and they said it wasn't an interception. I'm still telling you that
was an interception. Yeah, you keep going back to that. Nobody seems to think that ball was intercepted. You are on your own.
I'm the only one that saw it said he caught the ball.
Now, what I'll say is what's more concerning in the first half is, like, say, Miles Sanders was wide open in the end zone, and Carson Wentz just missed him, and they ended up losing 7 points on that drive. In the first half, John Hightower was wide open on the first drive of the game for a huge gainer and just dropped the ball. And actually, Wentz didn't miss him. Sanders dropped the ball, too. Those are two drops. Like, I can excuse the Fulgham thing and say, look, dude just tossed the ball up
this
in the
happens.
Air
right.
on because it was fourth down, and if he doesn't, the game's over. If it's not fourth down, I don't even know that he bothers throwing the ball versus just taking the sack.
Right.
Something goofy occurred there. I can be dismissive of that. I can't be dismissive of the fact that there were wide open plays in the first half the Eagles just missed, and that could have made it a completely different game. So a total lack of discipline on both sides of the ball. The Jihad Ward penalty, I'll give you that.
That was bad.
That was really
bad.
Because
that was third down.
That was third down and
14 or something like that, right?
I mean, it was. I don't know if it was third and 14, but it was.
But
it was,
that was the drive where they scored the touchdown and then made the first two-point conversion.
Correct. That sort of got things going.
Right. Made it 24-14.
That was a difference in goal to go from the 5 and then a first down from the 2, like in that decision. So yardage-wise, it's not the end of the world. But the ball was clearly out of Carson Wentz's hands. He had just tossed the thing up. That can never happen.
Right.
That can never, ever happen. So if you want to say that's lack of discipline, I'll give you that. That was a lack of discipline penalty on Jihad Ward. Now, Jihad Ward's not the guy that you would want to have in that situation with the game on the line being forced to make plays. That speaks to sort of the lack of outside linebackers that this team has that they appear to trust. From John in Little Rock. This is the way where you say I like that guy when he sleeps or something like that.
Watching the games?
Yeah, he's still with us, John.
Root for your own team.
Who do you think the team would be in Little Rock?
Root for Arkansas. Didn't they win yesterday?
I think he does root for Arkansas.
They got a big win yesterday.
They got a big win yesterday. I think it was Ole Miss. Fraudulent Ravens. Fraudulent Ravens hang on today, he says. Ravens are like bullies. They beat up on crap teams.
Yeah, I don't even know if they beat them up today. I think it was.
Well, they didn't.
Almost a draw.
They didn't beat him up today. Also says, nothing wrong with sidearm passes. It's part of Lamar's game. Mahomes doesn't, and everyone thinks it's great. This is a miss. There's nothing wrong with throwing a sidearm pass when it's necessary, when it's required, or when it makes the most sense. When you go to this sidearm pass and it bounces 4 yards in front of your intended receiver downfield, instead of stepping into a throw and driving the ball to your receiver, it's a problem. Lamar, in particular, has not proven that at all times he makes the sidearm passes when they're necessary or when it's the best circumstance by which to make them. He tends to default back to them for whatever reason. It's part of his mechanics. It's part of who he is. And yes, to some extent, you take the bad with the good, right? Like Brett Favre threw a lot of interceptions,
sure.
But he threw for a lot of yards. So you kind of live with the fact that he threw for a lot of interceptions. And there's something to be said for that with Lamar. You're going to have to live with the fact that in his mechanics, he's going to go back to that sidearm pass in situations where it's not necessary.
Most of the time when he's under duress. And he doesn't do it in the normal, you know, he doesn't take
the
shot.
The one out to the left on the sideline was, I mean, there was nobody within yards of him.
I don't remember.
He had
that
plenty of room, and he left the throw 4 yards short. Like, I just don't know what that is. There's no need to it. It only seems to me like it's a comfort thing. I just like doing this.
Right. I also think that, and this is kind of inevitable, right? I also think that there is a little bit of a regression of the means with him. He was never going to be able to duplicate game for game, moment for moment, what he did a year ago. And I'm not suggesting
it's hard for anybody
in any way
right.
that it was a fluke. I am not saying that. But what I am saying is that there's probably been some market correction this year a little bit. You know, if you make 6 putts out of 9 on the front nine, there's an old saying in golf, when you chip a ball in on the second hole,
right.
The saying is, well, you're done for the day.
Yeah, you made yours.
You can't chip
right.
another one in because no one chips two in a round, right? And, like, you know, there's some market correction with him that a year ago he really led, like, an entirely charmed life. And now, partly because it's just the nature of sports and partly because other teams are – sitting down saying, well, we can't let this kid beat us every week. And, you know, the words start to circulate. There's more game film and more game film.
Well, and the Ravens didn't really do anything for him this offseason.
Right.
And that's part of the, like, it's a significant part of the story because it also speaks to what I just said a second ago. Some of these holding penalties come because they're not getting receivers open downfield. Or they are. Again, I don't have the access to the All-22 film today. Maybe perhaps they were receivers open all day and it's entirely on Lamar. They just wasn't making those throws. But there's extended plays, and you're just sitting around waiting for Lamar to force something to make the play, but it just doesn't work that way. It's not as simple as saying, well, just go do it, right? Like, the Ravens didn't put guys on the field for him this season that were natural separation creators. Now, perhaps Devin Duvernay will become that guy as his career goes on. He had a couple of nice plays today, in fact, but at the moment, he's not. They just don't have those guys outside of Mark Andrews. And to some extent, Hollywood Brown. But even there's a limit to that because with nobody else out there, he's the guy getting all the attention. So it limits his ability to be that guy. There's a lack of that. That's a problem.
Right. I mean, we're still throwing it to those two eight and a half out of 10 times, right?
Something like that.
They're the number one and number two target on 8.5 of the 10 throws.
And today there was a little bit more movement around, especially early on that first drive. They mix in a couple guys. Willie Snead had the big play where he fumbled the ball, but thankfully it went out of bounds.
Right.
Like, you know, there was a couple that got mixed in. But for the most part, yeah, that's your offense.
Right.
Your offense is running the ball and two guys that you throw to, or that you're willing to throw to anyway. And it's a problem. I mean, that's part of the story of what we're talking about. David, by the way, the Project Game Day postgame show is brought to you by the U.S. Army. David says, Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Titans, Steelers, they better figure it out quick. Are we looking at a 5-6 team? All right,
wait,
no.
Wait, we're not going to do that.
No.
But read that again.
Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Titans, Steelers. That's the schedule coming out of the bye.
Steelers home, Colts away, Patriots away,
yeah,
Titans
home,
Steelers
on the road, yes.
Okay. I mean, I will say this. I'm not going to pile on like that, but I will say this: you're going to learn, you know, in the next 5 weeks, you're going to learn a lot about this team.
I think there's a point there, which is the reason why we're reacting the way that we are today is less to do with the fact that they nearly blew a lead, and
more
because
about, you know, if they do this next week against Pittsburgh, 2 weeks against Pittsburgh, or if they do it to Indy, you know, Philip Rivers is. And if he's still throwing the ball and playing then. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, I'm not.
I would agree that this, you know, those next five games are going to be telltale.
I do think that there is a point there. The point being,
I would agree with that.
We were hoping to see this team look like the well-oiled machine over the last couple of weeks to feel great about them going into that stretch. Now, that there's nothing about right now that says to me they can't go beat those teams. I absolutely believe the Ravens can win the majority, if not all of those games.
Colts hung on to win that one today.
Yeah, they fell behind big in that one, too.
They're losing 21-0.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the most simplistic thing to say, and I don't disagree with you, David, they better figure it out. They have to play better over the course of the next five games than they have played over the course of the last four.
Right. And knock on wood here, this is the thing. They've been relatively injury-free.
I mean, I don't know if there was an update on Mark Ingram.
But I'm saying for the five games. Like, you know, they've played five games this year, and Stanley missed the one game against the Redskins, but that didn't really matter. But they've been pretty much injury-free, and particularly to their major components, right? Like, if Andrews were to get hurt, then they'd be in trouble.
Oh,
if
Hollywood Brown,
got
yeah.
hurt, they'd be in trouble. If Stanley was hurt for any length of time, they'd be in trouble. If Humphrey got hurt, trouble. Lamar, trouble. Like, they've dodged it really for 2 years. They've dodged the injury
they've
bullet.
They've been largely
for
quite
years,
fortunate,
which
yes.
Which is good.
There's
I mean,
no doubt about that. You hope that that continues.
But if they were to get a couple here and there, I mean, remember the year after they won the Super Bowl, they had 30 guys couldn't
right,
play
correct.
At the end of the year.
100%.
In 16.
When they had to put Chris Gibbons caught. And right. Chris Matthews on the field
and
as wide receivers.
Notre Dame played quarterback that one game.
Oh, God, Jim Clausen, no doubt. That was a thing that happened.
I don't know, was that 16?
I
just said that off the top of my head. I don't even know.
So they
17,
drafted
16, 17?
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds about right. John Harbaugh's meeting with the media right now. According to Jeff Zrebeck, he had no updates on Mark Ingram, Tyree Phillips, or Anthony Averett. Said he didn't believe that any were long-term injuries, but he hasn't gotten ultimate word. Remember, Ingram went out, came back in, and then went out again and left for the day. The good news there being the Ravens.
Yeah, but what was the score then?
Well.
No, what was the score?
When he went back out again,
yeah,
it was probably a 16-point game.
24-6,
the second time he went out,
yeah.
I thought it was 30-14 at that point. I thought it was.
Okay.
But you know, the Ravens have some depth at running back, so I'm not nearly as concerned. But look, we'll have to watch this. The good news again being it's bye week; they've got time.
Right.
Back to the comments as we continue on the Project Game
Derrick
Day
Henry
post-game
had like 300
show.
Yards today rushing.
Well, he had a 94-yard touchdown run.
Okay, so he had 200 yards.
Yeah, I mean it was decent. Your wife says hello, by the way. Your wife. I don't know if you do. You remember her?
My wife.
Yeah, your wife.
How'd she say hello?
And she said hi. She got in the comments to say hi.
Hello, wife.
Yeah, right. Now I know how much do you get to see her when you're out playing golf.
Hello,
every
wife.
Day. KZ, the passing game lacks imagination. Not that I wish anyone be hurt, but maybe Dobbins can now get some more touches.
Okay.
Dobbins had a drop today that wasn't good earlier on in the game. That you know.
It's so weird how much he's like Ray Rice.
I mean, I hear
everything
you. He's a little bit bigger, but I get it. All right, I get it.
First blush when you look, you're right, like, oh, they brought Ray Rice back finally.
I get it.
He'll say, hey, you had a five-year suspension.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way that was going to work. The passing game does lack imagination. Again, part of the problem being you don't have guys. Like,
well,
you
and I talked about this, too, like last week, and this is the kind of the dirty little secret, right? It's never been really. It's never really been Roman's strength.
Oh, you're not wearing your headphones. You're doing all
I'm
sorts
doing
of radio. Yeah, you're doing all sorts
doing
of good.
Old radio that we used to do.
Jeez.
Roman's never had an offense that's been great at throwing the ball.
Well, and
he just hasn't.
And combine that with the fact that they just don't really have that
right.
type
and
of
I'm
personnel.
I'm not saying that's just because of him, but if you go back and look at his history,
right. this
Greg
is who
Roman's
he is.
History is his teams were always in. Oh, you know, when I say always, there could have been an outlier, but his teams were perennially around the top five in rushing out of 32, and always in the mid-20s for throwing the ball. Now. He's got a better quarterback maybe than he had in some of those years, and he's got a couple of kids that can catch the ball, and certainly Andrews is a top five tight end, but it's not really been his strength. It just isn't. Like, you know, I mean.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with
that,
and I don't know that it needs to be. As
it's
we
like
keep...
Trevino never won the Masters because he didn't hit the ball high enough, and it was just his thing. Like,
everybody knows that.
But no,
I
but
mean...
like, some you know, you just have these things that they just plague you, and. Trevino was a great player. He just never hit the ball high enough.
I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me why Trevino never won the Masters.
Didn't hit it high enough.
I just had a nickel.
Right.
But, you know,
so Roman's never been a guy that's been had a real productive throwing
But to
offense.
The point that you and I brought up last week, the idea that you're trying to get better in that department, I think, unfortunately, sometimes you have to be willing to look yourself in the mirror and say, if that's who we have to be, we might be screwed. Like,
there
are different ways to go about this. You can say we need to get better as a passing team, or we need to get better in making sure we don't have to be a passing team.
Just run the ball.
Right? Like, those are the ways
about. You know, again, they know way more than we do, and they may be looking at this and saying, the problem is we can't really run it like we used to run it because we don't have the personnel.
Well, going into today, they were averaging more yards per carry than they were a year ago.
I know.
From David, the Steelers will crush these guys. They are well coached. I mean, the Steelers are well coached.
Okay. I hear you, but let me also remind you of this. You can go back and look at his history. Tomlin's something happens to Tomlin when he coaches against the Ravens, and you can go back and look at it. Tomlin does a lot of dumb things when he coaches. He definitely gets involved in it's the Ravens.
Yeah, he gets – I don't disagree with that.
He's done some goofy stuff. Remember the one year in the when they lost in overtime? They did. What did they do that year in overtime when they lost in Pittsburgh? He did something goofy to start in overtime.
Oh, wow.
They didn't, they didn't kick the field goal when they make it, they win.
Right. It was, but that was a really weird. That was when the Ravens were 0-3. That was such a
But I don't even remember.
And they had Michael Vick starting a quarterback. I remember, but their kicker couldn't make a kick.
Yeah, they
and oddly, by winning the toss to start overtime, it really screwed them because it meant the Ravens could send them into the wind or send them into the open end of the stadium, and they didn't trust their kicker to make a kick.
Yeah, they had like a 48-yard field goal, and he's like, nah, we're good, and then the Ravens got it, went right down the field and scored. No doubt. So I will remind you, the Steeler lover, that the Tomlin does have a history of the old large shirt becomes a medium when he coaches against the Ravens.
From Scott, Miles Boykin caught a pass today, and I got mad because it meant he was still getting snaps.
Yeah, he's been really disappointed. So, you know, this is kind of a story for another day, but there is something about, and I'm not trying to just pigeonhole this Claypool kid because who knows, this could just be his 4 weeks of greatness, but like, it's so bizarre.
They always seem to find one, don't they?
It's so bizarre that we can't
The one
do
thing
it.
The Ravens can't do at all is the thing that they do the absolute best.
It's
amazing.
It's incredible.
All right, Andrew Stecca, let's unpack this. No one lost their minds on the Steelers last week when the Eagles played them tough, but this week everyone wants to crucify the Ravens for getting a tough game from Philly. The Ravens are good. They aren't as dominant as last year. Last year was the anomaly, not the norm.
Right, and so I would – who said that?
Andrew Stecca said that.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Right.
I can't even believe I'm saying this. This is like the old days of happy days. I think he might be
Well, let's. I want to unpack this a little bit.
I'm telling you that I think they're a flawed 5-1.
I agree.
They're not bad. I mean, they're not. I shouldn't even have to qualify this. They're a good football team. You're not 5-1 in the NFL. I can't believe I'm saying it because the Bears are 5-1. I think they're terrible, or are they 4-1? But anyway, you can't be 5-1 without having some quality. But I do think that this is a little bit expected, that they are coming back to the pack a little bit, not by a great amount, but they are coming back to the pack a little bit. And teams might have a little bit of an edge on Lamar now. And some of the things the Ravens did really well last year, they're not doing quite as well. And, oh, by the way, the other teams are trying to get better,
too.
For
what it's worth, over the course of the next 5 weeks, they could prove that that's not true. They have the opportunity.
Right. These next 5 weeks are going to tell you everything.
Against everybody other than Kansas City over the next 5 weeks to say, no, the rest of the AFC is not closer to us. We're still significantly better than everybody else in the AFC. That's not Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, if they go 4-1 in these five games, they are golden.
Yep, you got
legit,
your answer. Yep.
100%. If they go 3-2, it's not terrible because three of them are at home, right? But 3-2 would still, I'm telling you, and you know this, 3-2 would make people queasy.
Well, especially considering how that 3-2 might happen
I'm wrong on that. They would have to win a road game to go 3-2. Only two
right,
of the games
right,
are at home.
Right.
So they would have to win a road. So maybe 3-2
if two of those games.
Your point is how they got there would
right,
be
if
what.
If they go 3-2 and two of those are against the Steelers and they're sitting pretty in the division and, you know, it would seem weird that they would lose at this point to either the Colts or the. That it just sort of depends on what happens.
If they go 3-2, but they beat Pittsburgh twice, it's way different than if they go 3-2, but they lose to them.
Correct.
Twice. Yeah, I would agree with that.
100%.
I would agree with that. Take that, Stecca.
Now, as far as comparing it to what happened with the Steelers a week ago, it was eye-opening to me.
Where I'll beat Stecca up. You can't do this. The league's insane.
I agree with that, but a week ago, seeing what the Eagles did against the Steelers' defense was a reminder to me that the Steelers' defense is not the all-time.
And then they shut the Browns down today.
They completely shut. This was their best performance by far of the season defensively. What a week ago after that, I came
nice
on and
helmets,
said,
by the way, one logo between the two of them.
Yeah, right. we're really doing this. If this is who you are, if you're going to allow a ton of points to the Eagles, you're not this great historic defense that you were portrayed to be before the season. Now, freaking out about it, I don't do radio in Pittsburgh, so why would I? I don't know what it was like in Pittsburgh this week. They might have been freaking out in Pittsburgh this week. They might have said, what the F is wrong with this team all week in Pittsburgh? We don't do that here because who cares? Who cares?
I'm telling you that John gets on the bus to come home, and secretly sort of says to Greg and Wink, like, dude, this is a 30-14 game if the refs don't get involved.
Maybe.
That's what I think John says privately.
Maybe.
He would never say that.
Oh, of course he wouldn't say it publicly. Here.
But I think he gets on the bus and he goes, who are we kidding? If this thing's in Baltimore and there are six calls against us instead of 12, we win by 16.
But that's
points.
A bigger problem because it's dismissing the things that happened earlier on in the game. It's dismissing the fact that, again, Miles Sanders was wide open in the end zone and just dropped a touchdown.
Okay,
it's
fair.
Dismissing
that's
the fact
fair.
That John Hightower dropped a 50-yard pass on the
right.
first drive of the game.
Right.
It's dismissing the things that occurred that you deserve to be burned for,
right.
that you got away with earlier on in the football
game. No, you're
right
game. About that.
So it's a bigger problem if that's what they're thinking at this point.
Like the Peters call at the end of the game, and you know I'm not
in general
I'm not a referee basher at all, and you know that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more of a just make a play, right? But that call in that particular moment of the game is potentially a game changer. That call's a game changer, and they're both fighting for the ball. You could have easily not called that.
I think it's a big call.
You
I don't know that I agree with
that.
Game changer just because the momentum was clearly already on the side of the Eagles at
but
that
point. But it was
third
and whatever it was.
Right, but they still had 3 minutes left. At, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of time. They were going to go for it on fourth down. I don't know that I agree with game changer, but it's a big call.
Right.
And probably not one that needed to be made. Is there a letter of the law where you go back and say, look, he made contact before the ball was there. Letter of the law says that's a foul, right? I think we all are thinking the same thing, which is in that spot, you can't give somebody 40 yards
right.
for a
quasi-Hail Mary.
Correct. Something along those lines.
Right.
And that's why we're so bothered
right.
by the call. I don't think it's necessarily the call was wrong as much as we wish there was this gray area where we can say, hey, look, you don't make that call in that spot. You just don't do that. That's not the way
and
this game goes.
And they were both kind of going for it anyway.
From back to John. John, any more info on Williams and the COVID list status? I believe the word was that it was...
He just came in contact with somebody.
Right.
He's got to miss 5 days.
Right. And right. so...
And there is no truth to the rumor. They were hoping Boykin got it.
Oh, yuck. Oh, man, we're doing that.
Five
the point
days.
Being,
he's got to miss 5 days.
As long as he doesn't test positive at any
right.
point in the next few days,
right.
you would assume he's fine coming out of the bye. KZ, Duvernay, Prochet, get them snaps over Boykin and Snead. Those guys can separate. The others can't. Well, on
it
paper.
It's kind of weird that Prochet has had
nothing.
Really
zero.
No
None.
Role at all in the offense. And again, we're going to go back to this, right? He's had no role in the offense, and the Steelers picked this kid up that went to University of Central Wyoming State.
Right.
And
well, Claypool went to Notre Dame.
Okay, so. I didn't know where he went.
Yeah, he's
but,
pretty well known.
But, like, it, you know, we picked these kids up, and they both went to reputable places, Texas and SMU. We can't get them on the field.
Well, I mean, Duvernay's been on
right,
the field, and they've run some plays for him,
right.
specifically
but
designed for
throwing
him.
Throwing plays.
Right, they clearly don't have faith in him just running the route
right.
tree and – doing what's necessary in the offense.
But they
and
do have
a million
some roles
for
him, handoffs and reverses and junk.
And plays that are designed
right.
to specifically get
right.
the ball into his hands.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
From Steka, having Drew not be able to admit I made a good point is the highlight of my day.
Right.
No, my week. I agree with Drew, too. You can't do the week-to-week thing. Each week is a snowflake, not the kind
Shut
of
snowflake. Shut up. Oh, no, he's
not
right,
the
kind, actually.
Not the kind of snowflake Drew is, but
right.
the other kind.
He's right.
But in terms of fan reaction, I'm seeing so much sky is falling after this today. It's not that for me. They won an NFL game on the road, and they had to work hard to do it. They had a lot. They have a lot to work on, but the expectation of dominance, like last year, is where I point out that last year was historic and an outlier. This year is different. Let me unpack that again really quickly. To some extent, of course, that's true. To some extent, right? Like, of course there's truth to that. What I'll back up on a little bit is I don't think the reaction is about today. I don't. I don't think the panic reaction is specifically about today. It's about a team that, dating back to kickoff from the Kansas City game, has just looked really uneven. They've
yeah,
just
they
not
weren't
looked
great
right.
against the Redskins or the Washingtons.
Right.
They were decent. They weren't
a week
great
ago,
against the
Bengals.
But the Bengals were horrendous, right?
Right?
But they weren't. I mean, they still almost won the game 27-0, but it wasn't the kind of
it was a weird day in which they were dominant in one particular thing, which was bringing pressure from the secondary. They were dominant in bringing pressure
right.
from the secondary, and everything else was kind of eh.
Right.
Like, it was just kind of happening. I don't think the reaction to this is today. I think it's four consecutive games of uneven play
right.
where you haven't had to face really good teams in the process since the Kansas City game, and so none of it's really bit you that it was uneven, but it's been uneven, and we can all acknowledge that watching it. It's just not.
It's a flawed 5-1.
Correct. Right. I think that's what we're reacting to more than we're reacting to the fact that the Eagles almost came back today. I think the reaction is just, it's been 4 weeks. Even if the Ravens had won 30-14, I think we would have gotten a lot of this postgame. They got to be better. They're going to have to be better against the teams they play against. I think it's the reaction is to that and less to this. And what I would say moving forward is, well, yes, last year might be the outlier. That if that's the case, that's the problem. The goal for this team is winning the Super Bowl.
But you don't have to go 15-1.
You don't have to go 15-1. You're right about that.
You don't even have to go 14-2.
But you got to prove you can beat the teams you're going to have to beat in order to win.
Well, that's why these
next
five games, these next five are going to really be the telltale.
Correct.
Because after that, it's the layups.
Oh, the December. They're not playing a game in December. It's insane.
But these next five.
Right. Now to Thanksgiving matters. Significantly matters.
Right.
After Thanksgiving.
And they got a Cleveland game in there somewhere, right? I mean, at some point, obviously.
I think there is early in December, right. There's a Cleveland. Maybe it is late. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they do have a late game. And maybe that ends up mattering, and Cleveland figures it out again, and maybe that ends up mattering somehow. But I'll bet against that at the moment that it'll end up mattering. The point being, like, that's the part. The part is you can say, hey, last year was an outlier, and it was historic, and the whole deal. That's fine. How are they going to win the Super Bowl? That's what this is measured by. The idea of, hey, they're 5-1, and they're only a game behind the Steelers. All well and good. How are they winning the Super Bowl? Just saying they can't be as good as last year, that doesn't help.
Right.
Help solve the problem. How is this team winning a Super Bowl? Because that's the only measurement that we care about at this point. That's where we are. All right, I need 1 minute to tell you guys about our great sponsors that bring us the postgame show. Then we'll come back in and we'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up post-bye. He's Drew Forrester. I'm Glenn Clark. This is the Project Game Day postgame show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio.
Glory Days Grill's Oktoberfest menu is available now. Our fall seasonal menu is available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new chicken schnitzel or the delicious Prussian pretzel rolls. Glory Days is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A-plus certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of 1 million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
All right, back in here in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio, the Project Game Day postgame show is also brought to you by Wise Markets. Drew, really quickly, a couple of things. One, how hell-bent are you? I don't even know. There's a big day coming up in a couple of weeks. Big day in our country.
Oh, the Masters is 15th.
The NFL trade deadline is coming up here in a few weeks. Oh, how hell-bent are you if you're the Baltimore Ravens that you solve your problems that way?
Or try to attempt Julio Jones?
Well, I mean, it'd be great if it was available.
Edge rush or?
Yeah, I mean, those are the two areas where people would say this team needs the most is edge rush and pass catcher. Obviously, Calais Campbell had a monster day-to-day, but
I would say that if they're able to get a receiver of some real quality who isn't a rental.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I may even change that, too. They need some receiver help. I'll just say that.
I mean, you're not paying a first-round price for a rental player, of course.
Correct.
But
they need some receiver help. And not what was the kid that used to do the dance after he got the first down?
Kelly Washington.
Yeah, not those kind of guys. Like, right. Real receiver.
The guys that they typically sign every year in August,
we
right.
We need a real receiver. So I would say we, you know. Now, how are we going to get them and what are we going to give up for them? I don't know. When is it? After week 8?
It's 2 weeks from this Tuesday. So
week 6, week 7.
Yeah, week 8. Yep, that's after week 8.
But they will have only played 2 games.
Well, they'll only play one more game, the Ravens. They have bye next week, then they'll play the Steelers game, and then
it's
the deadline.
Tuesday.
Yes.
So they're gonna. So they would only the best they could be a 6-1. I was gonna say if you're 8-1 or 9-1, I don't know that you panic as much. But they need a receiver more than they need defensive help. To me, now here's the problem, right? This is how we get off track. I'm telling you that they need a receiver to do what? Be able to throw the ball more.
Right, but now we're saying we don't want them to throw the ball.
We don't want them to throw the ball more.
It's a conundrum, right? And the argument about the
– But if they keep throwing the ball to Hollywood and Andrews every single game, teams are going to key on them, make them run the ball. It really is a catch-22, right? The other teams are saying, dude, we know where you're throwing the ball to.
Correct.
So we're going to cover those guys the best we can.
We're going to stack boxes, and we're going to put the attention that we pay is going to be to those two.
So now we want you to run it.
Yeah.
And you're not as good running it as you were a year ago. And instead of and I'm
that part's not true.
And I know you keep saying that, but
it's
I
not.
Don't think
you're
they're
not. It's not true. They're just not doing it.
I don't agree with that.
Dude, but the number you can't make these numbers up.
They had 50 yards rushing today other than Lamar.
Well, I hear you. I mean, today was I'd have to look at the numbers again after today. Perhaps
they
after
had
today.
They had 180 yards. I'm off there. They had 80 yards rushing without him.
On
well,
how many?
He counts. But he counts,
no, but I dismiss when I look at rushing numbers, I dismiss that. I only
so
look
they
at running
80
backs.
Yards today.
I only look at running backs, and their running backs were averaging more yards per carry this season than they were a year ago. That was
so
the number
today,
that
today, they had 80 yards on slow internet in here.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the internet's fault.
Anyway,
here I'll do your math for you. They had today 28 carries from running backs, and it wasn't even 80 yards.
So
that number will go down. So it might be that as of today, they are averaging slightly less on the ground.
But again, this is what happens, right? We say you got to add a quality receiver. And then in order to do that, if you do get Julio Jones I think AJ Green has quit. But if you do get one of those guys, you can't bring them in. It's like going out and getting Clayton Kershaw and then not
throwing the ball. Right?
Yeah, I mean you got to throw it to him, right?
That's the reality. I mean you're right.
So maybe the edge rush thing. I mean, I don't know that they need any other real help. And again, for whatever weird reason, now they did win today, but for whatever weird reason, when Brandon Williams doesn't play, their interior defensive performance really, really suffers.
Well, this is the problem. People have forgotten that Brandon Williams is really, really good because he doesn't get the quarterback. Because our standard for whether or not a defensive tackle is good is Aaron Donald. Right. Brandon Williams is a different player. He doesn't do that. What he does, he's unbelievably good at. It's just there's no statistic that you can go show and say, well, here's how he's disrupting the game. No, he's taking on double teams. He's stopping the run always. He's unbelievably good at that and has been for some time in his career. And you're a worse team when you don't have him on the field. That's the reality of what Brandon Williams is.
But I mean, should we go get someone? Yes. But I would be torn. I guess it really would depend on the quality of the player we get. And also depend on what do we got to give up to get him.
No, I hear you.
But hear you. If you do want to go get a receiver, fine. If you want to go get a Rajesh guy, I mean,
Edge rush,
go get one of those guys too.
I hear you. All right. Hey, if you haven't picked
and
it up yet.
And we need a kicker.
Yeah, that guy's okay. I think we're going to stick it out with him.
Hey, the one he made today would have been good from like 64 yards.
That's why it was weird when they didn't let him try. When they decided after the sack, and it was a terrible sack for Lamar to take, but when they decided at the 41-yard line they were going to punt instead of kick, I'm like, what?
Right. So 60-yard field goal. It's not even. So 56-yard
field
goal.
Yeah, right? Like, what are we doing?
58-yard field goal.
What are you doing? Hey, if you haven't picked it up yet, new print issue of Press Box available right now at your neighborhood Royal Farms. We celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Ravens Super Bowl 35 championship run. Great cover story talking to all the prominent members of that team. It's available right now.
Tony
Go
Banks
pick
doing?
It up. It's so funny you should mention that.
Oh, my gosh.
On the final page of this print issue of Press Box, I spoke to Tony Banks. It's available right now. I would encourage you to read it. The headline, for one former Raven, no celebrating anniversary of Super Bowl win. Go read it today. Pick it up right now at your neighborhood Royal Farms. Go pick it up today. Drew, people can find you.
Drewsmorningdish.com. www.drewsmorningdish.com.
Nobody cares about that part. Anything you want to say about it? Anything you want to...
I don't know. Have plenty of Raven stuff tomorrow. Okay. We'll beat them up a little bit tomorrow. Carve them up.
Right.
We'll carve them up tomorrow.
Are you on Twitter anywhere?
I am.
How about that?
It's a hooded four iron.
Hey!
So I want to read you this real quick. My buddy Matt Crow.
Love Matt.
We have... he got me in this Pick'em League. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of people put up... well, a bunch of people.
And after your picks this week, you're eating crow.
Right. Listen. Yeah. Oh, I am. Ready? So see if you hear a theme here.
All right.
All right. So here are the picks I have so far.
I don't think mine were good this week either.
I had Tennessee beating Houston.
You got that? Wait, do you pick these games outright?
For some reason that we do them against the spread, but there was no spread in this game. I don't know if it's because they didn't think they were going to play. I don't know why. There's just no spread. But I got a green check next to that one. All now, right. You ready?
All right.
I thought Indianapolis would cover 8.5 against the Bengals.
Yeah, I think that was a good choice.
I also assumed Minnesota would probably cover 3.5 against Atlanta.
Yeah, they didn't cover anything against Atlanta.
I kind of figured New England would cover against Denver.
Yeah, I hear you.
I also assumed the Giants at home would cover 3.5 against the Redskins. I also figured, well, on the road, the Ravens are going to cover 7.5 against the Eagles. Then I figured the Browns, this is the game where the Browns are going to man up, right?
Now that, I think, was an insane choice.
They're getting 4 points in Pittsburgh. Let's go with the Browns.
I think you made a mistake there.
Then I said, well, Carolina's not going to lose at home to Chicago, are they?
Yeah.
Then, to make it worse, I said, well, I got Jacksonville at home getting 3. The Lions are on the road, a favorite on the road. I won one game so far.
I'm 4-4.
And I know football.
No, I'm 3-4 so far this week.
And I know football.
Do you, though? Who told you that?
I do not.
I was going to say.
I clearly do not.
Who told you that you know football?
I
made
a
mistake. All right. I'll be back tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio,
You're
10
just
to noon.
We'll do this all again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do more of this. Ian Eagle's going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, is he?
So
really?
It'll be better. It'll be better because we'll have Ian Eagle as part
Ian.
Of it. It's
Ian.
You know that. He likes you. He's like one of the 5 people in the world that actually like you.
I know. I like Ian too.
All right, we'll do that tomorrow.
We have a bit of a synergy, you know.
How so?
You and I and I and oh, we just oh, well, yeah, on we the air one day with right. the
greatest line in the history of broadcasting.
Oh.
Greatest line.
And then
ever.
He came on.
How about Charles Davis calling the touchdown today too?
Crazy.
By the way,
Charles Davis is awesome.
Charles Davis is great.
But
100%.
The funniest part about that was he came on with us like 2 days later. We had him on.
Well, we were not as close with Ian at that point. Like we'd had him on before, but
we had
weren't.
Him on and he tried to pass off to us like, oh, I didn't really mean anything.
No, we're good. Ian, we're not mad. We're not mad at you.
Baltimore wants you to come on the air about that thing you said.
Oh, no.
He's like, guys, I got to tell you, I didn't mean anything about it. We're like, dude, it's the greatest thing anybody ever said.
We're on board with you. They don't play baseball in Baltimore in October anymore.
Yep.
Not a low blow.
Just a fact.
And, in fact, Drew and I used that for a segment. We did a segment every week for as long as we were together. That we tagged out with not a low blow.
Not a low blow, it's
just a fact. For the
it's
great Ian Eagle. He'll join us tomorrow morning. All right.
Tell Ian I said hi.
I'll do that. Ravens win. They're 5-1. This has
5-1, baby.
This has been the Project Game Day post-game show. Hey, thanks again to the U.S. Army and Wise Markets for making it happen. And, of course, we've been in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio. We'll be off next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks for Ravens Steelers. It's been the Project Game Day post-game show.